Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King-Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Hey, Michelle, have you seen those movies that have come out and some stuff on television about the effect of giving up your child and what that does to your, I guess, your mental and your physical health? I mean, it's a really tough topic.
Boy, it sure is. And I have seen some of these movies that have been out. And, you know, I lived with someone who was adopted, who was given up at birth. So I've seen both sides of this story, which is, you know, very difficult. That's going to be an interesting segment for us today.
Well, we have Liesl Einarsson, who is a licensed social worker and a counselor at The Cradle, an adoption agency in Evanston, Illinois. Her organization is cradle.org. And Liesl is going to be helping us understand how to tease apart some of these very difficult issues. First, Liesl, thank you so much for joining us on Her Radio. I know that our listeners are going to be very intent on learning real specifics from you about, wow, the effect on your health, on the overall, when you give up a child. So let's start with some women feeling ashamed and guilty. Can you help us understand that?
Yeah, well, thanks first for having me. I can say what's important to understand is that all women who deliver a child have some common experiences after birth, postpartum experiences of, you know, hemorrhaging, milk coming in, having pain, sometimes postpartum depression, whether they parent or make a plan of adoption for their child. Specific to adoption, depends on the woman's culture, her family. Of course, oftentimes women do feel ashamed. They do feel some guilt. It's important to understand, though, why women do consider adoption for their children. I think a lot of us have preconceived notions as to what most women are like who do make adoption plans. And I'd like to kind of talk about that a little bit, if that's okay, too.
Oh, that's fantastic, because I don't know. I mean, this is really interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think most people assume that it's like the teen mom, like you see on MTV, who has an unplanned pregnancy and wants to, as you say, give up their baby for adoption. First, we like to use the terminology make a plan of adoption, because every single woman that we work with, they're not just giving up. They're not saying, hey, I'm done, forgetting about their child. They are making a really detailed, concerned, caring plan for their child. It's not easy to make an adoption plan. It's not easy to parent either. But there is a lot of grief and loss that goes along with making an adoption plan. But all the women I've ever worked with are very child-focused, and they make the plan not because it's easy for them, but because they think that what they will be giving their child by making a plan of adoption is better for the child. It's
so
a very selfless thing to do.
So is that how a woman really makes her decision, making the right decision about, you know, giving up her child?
That's how we here at The Cradle try to practice. We are a very ethical agency, and we believe that, you know, every woman has the right to make whatever decision she chooses. We help her consider parenting or adoption. Whatever she chooses is totally fine by us. We'll help her with that. But oftentimes there's a lot of different factors in a woman's life. So first off, most of the time, women are actually in their late 20s, sometimes early 30s, and they have other children. And those are the women who are more often the ones that make the plan of adoption. It's not the teenager who has the unplanned pregnancy like we see on TV all the time.
That's interesting.
Of course, we do work with women like that. But it's actually the women who have already parented, who know how hard it really is to parent and care for a child, who call us and say, I'm pregnant again. I'm in a situation. Maybe they've just gotten out of a domestic violence situation, and they're trying to better their lives for them and their children. Or, you know, they were financially just lost their job, family member just passed away, they don't have family support, and it was, you know, maybe out of wedlock pregnancy, and that's not okay by their family or their culture.
Right.
And we do our best to encourage them to share with their family. We don't believe secrets are good, because that can have a long-term effect on a woman's health if she has to keep it a secret.
So what is that long-term health, you know, issue? Because that's our segment. Yep. What effect does giving up your child have on your health?
So as I said before, all women kind of have a common experience with labor and delivery. And a woman who makes a plan of adoption, often it feels like losing a child to death. That's what some women have said it feels like. At the same time, with open adoption nowadays, they are able to continue to have contact, and that's primarily what we do here at the Cradle. So they can continue to see that their child is doing fine, and if the child has any questions, they can talk directly to their birth parents about, you know, why was I placed for adoption? And the birth parents can tell them directly, I cared enough about you to not just forget you and make sure you had a good family. But women who do make plans of adoption, especially initially, they feel like, you know, the child is no longer in their arms. They feel like I've lost the child almost to death. So it's a typical grief process, like when you lose someone that you love, whether that's through divorce or death or the ending of a specific career, you kind of go through a grief process. It typically includes, you know, some initial denial, like, I can't believe this is happening. Most women feel that way when they find out they're pregnant unexpectedly. Then they're angry at themselves, like, why did I do this? How could I have let this happen? Then they kind of go into the bargaining phase of bargaining maybe with God, saying, God, if I do this, will you take this away or will you make this happen again? Then there's typically some depression or some sadness of, this is really hard. I'm emotionally sad about this. And then typically they come to accept it, just like you come to accept a family member's death or another loss in life. It becomes a part of your narrative, a part of your story, and you're able to tell other people about it and to kind of move on, not forget, because you never forget, but to move on.
But so how did the women decide if they want to give up their baby? How did they decide what adoption agency they want to go with and what questions should they ask?
They should definitely work with an agency who is accredited, not-for-profit, who's not in it for the profit, of course, who has the highest level credentialed social workers on staff. You want master's level clinical social workers or counselors. An agency who is supportive of a birth parent no matter what decision they make. And an agency who is obviously, first and foremost, a child welfare agency who's focused on the best interests of the child at the end of the day. A family who's got, you know, all the basic licensing standards in whatever state that they're in. And an agency that's going to provide as much counseling before the adoption and after the adoption for the woman. Because that's, and I should say the birth father, because we often work with birth fathers too. They go through a very similar grief process. So somebody who's going to provide them free counseling by a really good counselor before and after.
I think that counseling is so terribly important because, you know, I mean, Michelle, especially, you know, we've been talking about this on and off about these challenges that women face when they have to make a decision like this. Some of them try to compartmentalize it, move on, and they never really have a chance to process what just happened. And it's not like you have to do this until the day you die, but I mean, you do need some opportunity with an experienced counselor to really work through everything, the mind and the body issues that you're experiencing. And then, quite frankly, are you going to be staying in touch with that child? What's the process by which you continue to do that? Because that is somewhat lifelong. I mean, there's multiple layers to this. And I would hope that the agency would be a credible one like yours that would be able to provide a woman with those kinds of resources and guidance.
Definitely. There's a lot of complex issues here. It's a lot of complicated grief. And many of these women have other issues that going on in their life, not just the adoption, but other things that are very traumatic in their life at the same time.
And I know I know that you at the Cradle really deal with this in a comprehensive way. And, you know, Michelle and I want to thank you so much. Liesl Einerson, who is counselor at the Cradle, an adoption agency in Evanston, Illinois. It's cradle.org. It's the website you want to go to. And I'm Dr. Pam Peake, along with Michelle King-Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.